Hi, and welcome back to Secrets in Nature. I'm Rachel.
Oh my goodness, the excitement that just came out of you. I've never seen it before.
Really? You thought that was excited?
I'm Lexi. Welcome back.
And that's it. Goodbye.
No, I just want to start off by saying how last episode I was talking about how like we need to let go of labels and stop worrying about who we are and just love ourselves. And then today... I've been sick, okay? I've had a lot of time on my hands, but today I sent Rachel a BuzzFeed quiz first thing in the morning, like as soon as I woke up, and I was like, take this quiz immediately so we know what type of hot girl you are. And then we started talking about it, and I was like, we better start recording because this is important.
Yes, it's like more important than anything else. It was very distracting while I was working. I'm like sitting there researching what the different hot girls mean.
Yeah. If you follow, I think her TikTok handle is The Jar with two R's, but she broke down like the different types of hot girls. There's the elusive hot girl, the ironic hot girl, the weird hot girl, and then there's like other ones, but those are the three main ones.
The doesn't know it hot girl and the party hot girl.
Thank you. And we both, if you can believe it, we both got weird hot girl.
If you can
and
believe
we were
it.
Just talking we were just talking before we started recording about how, well, Rachel said she doesn't like the word weird, so we were brainstorming other words that could have been used, and we settled on, well, I think I should be the eclectic hot girl and you should be,
well, I like eclectic too, but I also said otherworldly. They're both better.
More positive words than weird. Even though it's, yeah, she didn't make it out to be negative in any way. But, you know.
Yeah, I just don't like calling things weird.
Eclectic hot girl.
Because, like, nothing's really weird.
Because of what society did to the word.
Yeah. Nothing's really weird. Like, it's just weird to you. Doesn't mean it's actually weird, you know.
Plus, the word weird originally meant on the right path, I think. Or like heading towards your destiny or like something like that. Don't quote me.
Then I'm just so weird then.
It's insane.
I'm headed to my destiny.
Wait, and then you sent me a voice memo, or like not a voice memo. What do they call it? Like a voice text.
Yeah.
And you were like, we're just so weird and different. We're just not like other girls.
No, I said we're so weird and quirky.
Oh, quirky. Yeah.
I had to add the hee hee.
So anyway.
Wait. Should we tell them what it said in the description under the quiz? It was like, you have a plant and you probably have a cat too.
Like, oh my God. Totally not like other girls. Like as quirky as possible.
I'm just so different. Like I have a cat and a plant.
I know. There was like a question of like, do you have a plant? And there was only one. It was either like, I have several. I have three plants. One of them is hanging on by a thread. The other two are doing okay. And that's only because one of the two that are doing okay are brand new. So she still has a fighting chance. And the options on the quiz were like, it was like, do you have a plant? And it was either I have several or no. Can't keep anything alive. It gives me too much anxiety. I only have fake plants. And there was like no in between. So it's like, this girl really thinks that if you have a plant, you are one of the weird ones.
Yeah. Also, for the one where it's like your favorite food, not one dessert listed. I'm like, where are the desserts? One of them was pizza and bagels. And I was like, I like bagels, but I don't like pizza that much.
I was like really tossed up between pasta with a bougie sauce and whatever my comfort meal from Trader Joe's is of the week. Those really spoke to me, those options.
I just picked pasta because that was like the only one I resonated with, even though that's not my favorite food.
Anyway, I've also said before that I really hate personality quizzes because like it depends, you know, like sometimes I'd be one option, sometimes I'd be another option, but you know, I've had a lot of time to reflect lately. I've been watching a lot of The Vampire Diaries. I've been taking hot girl quizzes. This is what life is like when you can't go to work.
I've been watching True Blood, which is also a vampire show. It's kind of like a mix of Shameless and The Vampire Diaries. That's how I would describe it.
What did you say? The R-rated version of the Vampire Diaries?
Yeah.
Like more sex and more violence.
Because it's an HBO show.
I love the Vampire Diaries so much. I haven't watched it since high school. And I'm already starting to dream about Stefan and Damon Salvatore again. So I'm really embodying my 17-year-old self to the fullest.
Yeah, they're hot.
I don't know what Stefan is doing there. I'm a Damon girl through and through. But, you know.
I don't know. I'd take either. I take either.
Okay, so before we get into the topic of the hour, I never got to talk about my experience doing the Wim Hof method with Peter from Ignite Sadhana, who we've had on the podcast, and the workshop that I went to where we did it. We also did holotropic breath work, and it was my first time doing that. And well, it was my first time doing both of them. I did this like a month ago, 2 months ago, and I have yet to talk about it on the pod. So basically, the breathwork portion of it was 15 minutes of hyperventilating in through the nose, out through the mouth really quick for 15 minutes. And it led to a lot of interesting sensations in my body that I had never felt before. My hands cramped up and I like couldn't move them. And I felt tingling in my ears and actually in my stomach, which even the instructor was like intrigued by that when I told her that I felt tingling in my stomach. I've since done holotropic breathwork at home as well. And the only way I can really describe it is that like it literally feels like you're high, but like only in your body, if that makes sense. And I find it to be like a really great way to feel like the energy moving. It's much easier to do than to just sit still in like a traditional seated meditation. And the breathwork I did at home was actually from Sarah Silverstein, who was also on the podcast. Another great interview. Go listen to it. But that's since been my experience with breath work. I have a really hard time like breathing deeply unless I'm like laying flat. So I'm trying to work on it. Well, I mean, when you do holotropic breath work, you kind of have to do it laying flat. Otherwise, you'll like pass out. But I think it's an important thing for me to be focusing on right now. And the ice plunge, it was literally just 2 minutes that I sat in this bin filled with ice water. And honestly, in the moment, I was like, I got in. And I was like, I can't do this. I have to stay in here so I don't look like a complete wimp in front of all these people. But I just wanted to get the hell out of the ice. Like everything in me wanted to just jump out of it. But after I actually got out, I felt so good that all I could think about was how badly I wanted to get back in the ice. It was so weird. I was like plotting when I could do it again. And like, I was like, how am I going to access like an ice bath at home? Like, I was like, I need to do this again, which I did not expect to feel. But if you haven't listened to our interview with Peter, where we talk about all things Wim Hof, go do that. And maybe it will intrigue you and inspire you to do something out of your comfort zone. Because I remember driving to this workshop and I was nervous for the ice bath, but I was even more anxious about the breathwork, honestly. And the idea of holotropic breathwork really scared me and I didn't know what was going to happen. And I was like, am I going to pass out? Are people going to judge me? Like, I figured everyone there would have been like really experienced and I would have been the only one doing it for the first time. I don't know. Like, for some reason, sitting in a bin of ice was not nearly as intimidating as the breathing part. I don't know. But I convinced myself, like, if I'm this anxious, it's probably something I absolutely need to be doing. And I was right. It was a great experience. And it was also all women there, which I did not expect. And it was mostly women that were doing it for the first time. So 10 out of 10 would recommend. Not in the moment, but just for the feeling you get after.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. And I think it would help a lot of people. How long was the breath work?
It was 15 minutes.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
I thought it was like an hour.
You like do a meditation first and then like you do the breath work and then like we did a meditation coming out of it kind of. But you're not like doing the breathing for that long.
Well, 15 minutes is a lot less intimidating than an hour.
Yeah, it didn't really feel like that long either. Like I remember thinking, how am I gonna, like I started and my hand started cramping up and I was like, how am I gonna last for 15 minutes? But before you know it, she's like already stopping you, you know?
That's cool.
Anyway, would you like to introduce our topic?
Today, we will be talking about water filters and EMF blocker devices, which might sound boring, but I think it's interesting. Because we're talking about two specific things. One is water ionization, which is like alkaline water. And the other one is devices that block cell phone radiation and other radio frequency electromagnetic fields in your house or from coming to you. So those are the two things we're going to focus on. And I believe Lexi's also going to share about plants that block electromagnetic fields. And we wanted to talk about these things because it's a lot of false information that's shared about these certain products. And we just wanted to share. We did some research, wanted to share so you don't get fooled into buying one of them.
I think we have some debunking to do.
Honestly, I just think it's really interesting when companies just say whatever they want about something with no real research to back it up. And they can just do that and people believe it. I just find that really fascinating.
I mean, take one step into the grocery store and you're literally surrounded by, like, it's packaged and marketed so well to come off as healthy.
Yeah.
And we're eating that stuff. So imagine, you know.
And the wellness industry has just exploded the last, like, decade. So the stuff is everywhere and there's so much false information out there. So you just have to be careful and do your own research.
Oh my God. I'm like spiraling right now because I was definitely one of those bitches that was like showing everyone the video about like cow's milk and how awful it is. And like, don't get me wrong, the dairy industry is horrific. But like, the more I think about it and I see these posts where it's like, how have we like demonized this and it's animal meat or like cow's milk? And then we promote this as healthy and it's the substitute milks that have like a million ingredients in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then you look at oat milk and you find out all the oat that they're getting has been sprayed with pesticides.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I think that marketing is a very powerful thing and companies know how to make you feel like you need something or that your body needs it. And it might not be the case.
All right. So I guess I'll get into this water filtration device. So a water filtration device removes contaminants from water. That's the simplest definition. And there's so many different types. And most of them, I would say, work and are legit. But some of them are a little sketch, and that's why I wanted to talk about this one, and it's water ionization. So these machines can cost thousands of dollars, and I'm going to specifically talk about this one brand by Enagic, E-N-A-G-I-C, and it's an MLM, which is the first red flag. And also, the only thing they filter out is chlorine. So Kangen Water means return to origin in Japanese, and it is a Japanese company, but they sell them all over the world. Kangen Water is alkaline water produced by Enagic's alkaline ionizer and water filtration machines. So for more than 40 years, Kangen Water has been used in Japan to help restore the body to its original alkaline state. These machines can transform your ordinary tap water into healthy, fresh-tasting alkaline drinking water. Kangen Water is superior to tap and purified water. And I'm getting this off their website. So some things they highlighted were water that is hydrogen rich has a high concentration of molecular hydrogen. Molecular hydrogen acts as an efficient antioxidant that diffuses rapidly across cell membranes and can reduce free radicals, suppressing oxidative stress. As with most things in life, optimal health begins with balance. Our bodies must maintain a pH balance of 7.365, which is slightly alkaline. Slows the aging process, helps with allergies, skin problems, acne, sinus infection. This is what it all claims. So I looked into, is this actually healthy? So manufacturers claim that it neutralizes acid in the blood and throughout the cells and the organs in the body, which prevents all forms of diseases, including cancer. Obviously, that's not true. If drinking alkaline water was the cure to cancer, I think we'd all know. Also, most alkaline waters lie in a pH range of 8 or 9 due to the addition of minerals such as calcium, magnesium, and potassium, and not this 7.365, which the body should be at. Also, the human body has a highly effective buffering system to maintain blood pH between the range of 7.35 and 7.45. Severe medical conditions occur when the blood drops below 7.35, called acidosis. And the false claims are alkaline water has been thought to provide better hydration, A small study of 16 subjects showed this to be the case, but there is no larger group of evidence to prove this. Alkaline water has been added to the detox list. I say that with air quotes. Perhaps one of the most brilliant marketing terms of the ever-growing multi-billion dollar sinkhole of the wellness industry is detox. And alkaline water has jumped on the bandwagon, assuming one has functioning kidneys, a liver, intestines, sweat glands. If they're all functioning, then your body's detoxing.
So much is marketed as like a detox product, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You have organs do that for you.
Alkaline water will not treat acid reflux. While there does seem to be some inherent logic there, drink something basic to combat acid. There's no direct evidence.
Oh my God. Can I say something insane about that? I had heartburn at work the other day, and one of the people I work with was like, drink seltzer water. And if you Google it, like, seltzer water is like one of the things they say to avoid at all costs if you have heartburn. And he was like, no, drink the seltzer water. And I drank the seltzer water and my heartburn went away. I don't know what the meaning behind that is, but just a tip for you.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. Alkaline water does not reduce the incidence of osteoporosis, also known as bone loss. And they did a study, a meta-analysis of 55 studies on acidic versus alkaline diets contributing to bone loss, found no association between dietary intake of acidic versus alkaline foods or drinks. And if you are interested in learning more, this girl has a YouTube channel called Anna's Analysis, and she made a great video on Kangen water. It's like over an hour long. She goes into everything. And if you're just into something like this, it's a really good video to check out. And I got the false claims information from Forbes. So that's Kangen water.
So that's basically just one of the big, it's like some of the big companies that like are making false claims.
Yeah. But there's other waters that are alkaline, like alkaline water. That's a brand.
Yeah. And they say it's like good for athletes or whatever.
Yeah. But people drink it thinking that it's going to like do something amazing for them, but it's not. And I'm pretty sure it's more expensive. So you're just wasting your money.
I know. Well, first of all, if you're exclusively drinking bottled water, I mean, that's just a life I'm unfamiliar with, but...
Yeah, don't drink bottled water. Buy this, like, $2,000 machine that does it for you. Just kidding.
I mean, okay. Well, I also... So, there's this woman that I love her website. I love if there's any, like, products that I think I could, like, find a better replacement for. I always use her website because she does in-depth research about any product you can think of. Deodorant, beauty, skincare. She does in-depth, like, ingredient deep dives, and like she just breaks it down like in this inarguable way. It's insane. And she has a whole article about water filters. First of all, everyone's water is different. I don't know if that's common knowledge or not, but I never thought about it until recently. If you really care about getting your water filtered properly, like, you can send it away to get like tested and see like what the highest pollutants are in it that you should focus the most on like getting rid of, because everyone's water is different, number one. And number two, filtering it is important, but filters do so many different things. Like, there's some that are really good for fluoride, and then there's some that are really good for lead. And like, but in her article, I just thought it was insane. This is like one of the facts that I just wanted to share. She said the Safe Drinking Water Act of 1974 covers 91 contaminants, but there's 85,000 chemicals used commercially within the United States that can be found in water. So just like something to think about. It's very complex. I'm going to link this article in the show notes. I also watched a really interesting video of this guy testing different filters. And that's just if you're like thinking about tap water. That's not huge companies that sell bottled water and things like that.
And I believe it's the longer it takes to filter, the better job it's doing. Mm. Like, the ones that filter your water really quickly are probably not doing as great as a job as one that takes a lot longer. But who got time for that? Especially if you have a family.
Yeah.
People don't have time to wait all the for water to filter, unfortunately.
I also just think, like, she's diving into lead. Like, okay, so the environmental working groups, the EWG, their limit for lead in water is 0.2 ppb. But in contrast, the federal government considers 15 ppb safe, which is like insane to me. And the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that there is no safe level of lead for children whatsoever. but the federal government says level 15 is safe. And not to mention fluoride. Fluoride has been in the water since the 1950s. I think it had something to do with
our teeth.
Our teeth, yeah. But before that, it was considered an environmental pollutant. There is growing evidence associating fluoride with an underactive thyroid and tooth and bone damage. So that could just be all fabricated. I don't know.
We'll probably never know. Honestly, unless you know for a fact that your water is contaminated where you live, I wouldn't worry too much about it. I mean, there's only so much you can do. So another thing or another device that I've been hearing a lot about in the wellness community is EMF blocker devices. So there's still some debate about the potential of cell phone radiation and other radio frequency, electromagnetic fields, EMF, such as those created by Wi-Fi and Bluetooth to cause cancer. Of the various studies conducted, there is overall no conclusive association between cell phone use and cancer. And I have a couple studies that I'll share after I get through the products. Okay, so amid concerns about possible health risks associated with the cell phones, the Federal Trade Commission advises consumers to avoid products that supposedly shield users from cell phone emissions. So according to the FTC, there is no scientific proof that these so-called shields significantly reduce exposure from cell phone emissions. In fact, products that block only part of the phone, such as the earpiece, are totally ineffective because the entire phone emits electromagnetic waves. By interfering with the phone's signal, phony shields may cause it to draw even more power and possibly emit more radiation. Okay, so I found this one website that sells a chip that you can put on your phone. It almost looks like a pop socket, like it's the size of a pop socket, but it doesn't pop out. Obviously, it just sticks to the back of your phone. The website is airestech.com, AIRESTECH.com. So the claims that they have for this device are that it protects against radiation from personal communication devices, everyday electronics, power lines, cellular towers, electromagnetic pollution. Some big claims. It says that this is how it describes how it does this. The microprocessor modulates chaotic EMR, transforming the waves and creating a coherent EMF similar to our biological radiation. It does not block the radiation, but restructures it to neutralize any physiological impact. Any EMR waves that pass through the effective range mimic the modulated EMF created by the product. That's all very confusing. And so how it works is the microprocessor is composed of 1.2 million microscopic etchings that create a circular lattice to diffract the EMR waves. The outer gold antenna captures the energy surrounding the EMF to power the passive microprocessor. Okay, so obviously that's a lot of claims, and they say that they have all this research. And if you look on their website, you do see like all these research studies. So it seems legit. But if you really look into it, you realize it's kind of bogus. So I looked into their research, and then I looked into the company that did the research. And the research is by Aeris, New Medical Technologies Foundation. It's literally owned by them, the company that researched their device. So of course, they're going to say that it works. You just have to be careful. Just because a company lists a bunch of research doesn't mean that it's legit. You really have to look into it and look at the company that performed the research. A lot of companies pay for research to be done, or they own the company that does the research. And of course, it's going to be biased if they do that. So another device, which is a little different, is called SomaVedic. It's a portable device you take with you. It has three models ranging from $500 to $1,000. So I looked at the most expensive one, and this is what it claims. So, Vedic has a completely updated core with a new composition of minerals that we have worked on for a long time. Plus, the whole inside of the handmade corpus is silver plated, making Vedic 50% stronger than our previous bestseller. Suitable for larger properties, households, as well as hospitals, clinics, blah, 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 blah. Okay, 100% water harmonization structuring. I don't know what that means, but it harmonizes your water. Emits less light in dark environments, supporting circadian cycles. new stone composition for stronger space harmonization and less oxidative stress, silver plated glass body made from Vaseline glass for even more powerful emanation, elimination of influences 3G, 4G, 5G, EMF, geopathic zones, and free radicals. Woo! Those are some big claims. And to give you an idea of like how big it is, like you could hold it in your hands. It's probably like a foot tall. So pretty small.
There are so many more affordable things you can do to like avoid light and dark environments. Get yourself some blue light glasses. I got some that were $20.
Yeah. But I'm also so curious what it means, like water harmonization and space harmonization.
That just sounds like something that a very eloquent writer that was hired came up with to write this description.
So what it says about the water is it can create harmonized structured water and help you increase your hydration capabilities.
What?
to achieve the maximum absorption, simply put your water next to the soma vedic, ideally not further than 8 inches away. The desired effect of 100% structured water occurs in 10 to 15 minutes. With Vedic, you can enjoy a spring quality water with no compromise.
Or you could just like say something nice to your water, like from the Emoto experiments, and then it's just free.
Or you can just not believe any of this. I wonder how many people actually fall for this, though. Like, it sounds very
futuristic.
Yeah. Or just
is what it sounds like to me.
What was the word I was looking for?
Utopian ideal device that would just fix all of our problems in one little device.
Yeah. Like, imagine if we had a device that makes you more hydrated.
Like, you literally just hold it in your hands and you get better sleep and you're gonna be better hydrated and you're also going to age backwards.
So yeah, the fact that this device claims that they can increase your hydration capabilities just sounds crazy to me, but I'm sure a lot of people fall for it and think it's legit. But I didn't find any research that's real. But anyways, if that's what you believe, that's what you believe.
No judgment at all.
So I actually looked into a couple real studies on cancer.gov, and I just want to quickly go over them. So the largest case control study of cell phone use and the risk of head and neck tumors is conducted by a bunch of researchers from 13 countries. The data came from questionnaires that were completed by study participants in Europe, Israel, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Japan. So what the study showed was, most published analysis from the study have shown no increases overall in brain or other central nervous system cancers related to higher amounts of cell phone use. One analysis showed a statistically significant, although small, increase in the risk of glioma among study participants who spent the most total time on cell phone calls. However, for a variety of reasons, the researchers consider this finding inconclusive. Is the radiation from cell phones harmful? Okay, so this study looked at cell phones emit radiation in the radio frequency region of the electromagnetic spectrum. Second, third, and fourth generation cell phones, 2G, 3G, 4G, emit radio frequency in the range of 0.7 to 2.7. And 5G is a frequency spectrum of up to 80 GHz. I don't know what that is.
Gigahertz?
These frequencies all fall in the non-ionizing range of the spectrum, which is low frequency and low energy. The energy is too low to damage DNA. By contrast, ionizing radiation, which includes X-rays, radon, and cosmic rays, is high frequency and high energy. Energy from ionizing radiation can damage DNA. DNA damage can cause changes to genes that may increase the risk of cancer. So I feel like that really just covers it, those two studies, that you don't really need these EMF devices. I mean, if it really makes you feel better, then go for it. But I don't think it's worth spending the money because a lot of them are pretty expensive. And there's really no research to show that cell phones are causing cancer or that the radiation from them is harmful. I mean, we get worse radiation from the sun than we ever will from our cell phones.
I mean, there's like so many more things that I feel like people should worry about being like poison from than our cell phones.
Exactly.
Read the label on the next like product you buy at the grocery store and worry about that. I don't know.
Yeah, I just think it's a marketing tactic to sell these devices. Like, they look into what people fear and they kind of feed on that.
That's so weird because I literally saw this today on someone's Instagram story and it just happened to fit in perfectly. But I feel like there's a myth that there's certain plants that absorb radiation and can protect you from like your computer or your cell phone or whatever.
I just want to add that again, like this is, people believe this because of things like this that claim that there's a danger, when I literally just read two studies that show there is no danger that you have to worry about.
Yeah.
You know, so like your plants, even if they do, like there's, you're not being harmed by your computer.
So I guess that it's like a myth that there are some plants, a snake plant is one of them, a spider plant, cactuses, succulents, things like that, that they can absorb radiation so that you don't. And I guess NASA did a study. So they've done studies on plants to show that they can survive in like harsh radiation, but there's no study really on their capabilities to block it or absorb it. I mean, I guess they're not trying to sell you $1,000 devices to protect you, but who's to say there's even something we need protection from?
I bet it was someone that saw the study that these plants can survive through a lot of irradiation, and they just took that and turned it into, oh my God, these plants, they must be able to absorb radiation so they can protect you.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, I think things just snowball from like studies that don't even relate to it. Who knows? But if anything sounds too good to be true, do your own research. The Kagan water literally says that it will prevent cancer if you drink it. And I doubt they have any research to back that up.
Oh my God, if you Google, do plants absorb radiation, the only websites addressing it are like tech websites. That seems sketch.
Well, I doubt many people are doing research into it.
That's like, you don't need a snake plant, you need this device.
Usually I feel like if that's the case, there's probably just no research on it. But again, like you walk by the window and the sun's shining on you, that's radiation. So I don't know why everyone's so concerned about their phones. But I just don't think it's worth getting worked up over or spending a lot of money on.
I also think that there's some things that like would be hard to study right now, like whether or not something like cell phone radiation is harmful. The cell phone generation isn't old yet. You know what I mean?
I guess, but they did do research.
I know, but like we're the first generation to be using a cell phone from beginning to end of like our lifespan. So I feel like it would be, like, what if the effects just aren't studyable right now?
I guess. But we're glued to our cell phones, so I just don't think it's worth...
There's no going back.
Yeah.
Like, regardless, let's not stress.
I don't know. I'm way worried about the earth becoming a desert by the time we're 80.
There's more important things.
My cell phone killing me.
You're like, even if the effects aren't studyable, it ain't gonna stop no one. It's really not. So
yeah, I'm worried about so many other things taking us out, not our cell phones.
I mean, I'm more concerned about our cell phones like messing up our circadian rhythms than causing cancer. But that's like very manageable, and it just requires some self-control and like not scrolling through TikTok when you're like about to go to sleep and like things like that.
Yeah, or just on our mental health.
Well, that too. But I just feel like they're so, like, if you're going to be worried about products causing cancer, start making a list, because everything we use, like the conventional, like skincare and beauty and cookware, like all of it, like could be linked to cancer. I don't freaking know. Don't stress yourself out.
All the pesticides we use, like that's probably doing way more damage. But anyways, not to bum you guys out. We're all good. We're all safe. Hopefully you're safe wherever you are right now. But we can only worry about one thing at a time.
So worry about what kind of hot girl you are.
Exactly.
If you are going to take anything from this episode was not what I thought it would be. But if you're going to take anything from this episode, take the part where we are trying to communicate that marketing is a very powerful thing and anything can be marketed as anything. So be a conscious consumer. Thank you.
Don't believe everything you hear on the internet, and just do your own research into stuff, because I've been fooled one too many times. I think everyone has at this point.
Hot girls are conscious consumers. Weird hot girls. Eclectic hot girls are conscious consumers.
Hot girls know how to do research.
Hot girls love a good study, and Rachel is hot girl.
I love a good study.
I think that Stefan Salvatore is an elusive hot boy and Damon Salvatore is an ironic hot boy.
Really? You don't think it's the other way around?
No. Stefan is like the pretty boy, was born with the looks, does everything right, always knows what to say, is quiet, mysterious. And Damon is like the I'm hot because I'm confident and because I decided that I'm hot.
He's also just hot. He's like top 1% good looking men.
Oh, please. Paul Wesley is the definition of an elusive hot guy. Okay.
Okay.
Do you have anything else to say?
Good morning, good afternoon, good night.
Is that the Truman Show?
I think so.
After a moment of reflection, Truman says his catchphrase, in case I don't see ya, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, bows to his audience and exits. That is if you look up on Wikipedia what the Truman Show catchphrase is.
In case you don't listen to this podcast ever again, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Why would they do that? I guess it's time for us to wrap it up. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Secrets of Nature Podcast. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, please. 5 stars.
And check out our YouTube channel.
Check out our YouTube channel. So many people that we know in real life, you know, the fans, have said to me that they had no idea that there were video versions of our interviews on YouTube, and there are. So check them out.
If you want to see our faces.
If you want to see our gorgeous, weird hot girl faces.
No, I actually love putting a face to a guest voice, like whenever I listen to a podcast.
I always look them up on Instagram after I listen to someone else's podcast interview. I always need to know what they look like.
All right. With that, we will all talk to you next week.
See you next Friday.
Goodbye, darlings.